Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
If you open your Bibles with me to Genesis 14 and verses 11, I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 16. Amen. I want to talk about tonight about tried and true. Tried and true. Talk about how God has called us to be warriors, how called us to fight, amen? Not to be sissies. Praise the Lord. Not to be, you know, jellyfish-spined Christians. Hallelujah. That's a Pastor Bracken turn. Praise the Lord. We don't have spines of jellyfish, amen? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. My iPad was updating, and so, praise the Lord, right on time. You guys ready? All right. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and food supplies. They also captured Lot, Abram's nephew who lived in Sodom, and carried off everything he owned. But one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abraham, to Abram the Hebrew, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre the Amorite. Mamre and his relatives Eshcol and Aner and were Abram's allies. And when Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized 318 trained men who had been born into his household. Come on, say with me, he mobilized. Then he pursued Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with him at Dan. There, he divided his men and attacked during the night. Kedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Father, thank you for your word that is a light unto our path and our lamp unto our ways. Lord, I pray you help us, Lord, that you bless us. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Let your truth ring forth in the hearts of your people. And I pray right now, let every thought, let every stronghold that opposes the knowledge of God be cast down in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So training is important. Amen. They say, I believe in the SEALs, that you never rise up to your aspirations. You always fall back on your training. Come on, say it with me, training. Something like that. You know, in Eagle River, we you know, when we're driving many times, and oftentimes we see, as you know, planes, the C-17s are flying, then we just see a stream of paratroopers, you know, floating down, and it's awesome, and we take pictures. You know, what are they doing? They're training for war. They're training for battle. Did you know that we are at war spiritually? Do you know that you are at war spiritually? Do you know that we have an adversary that wants to destroy you, but he can't? We have an adversary that'll, you know, is tireless to try to get you discouraged, to try to get you to think the wrong thoughts, to try to not believe that God, what God said about you is true. And that therein is the battle. But we are at war. And Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Hallelujah. Your problem ain't your husband.
Hey, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Your problem ain't your wife. Hallelujah. Oh, no, just kidding. But what is our enemies? They're against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we do have an enemy that's invisible, and it's not your neighbor. It's not, you know, the person of any other person. It is an invisible enemy that lies, that tries to get you to think, you know, thoughts that are not what God has for you. And Isaiah 59, 19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. I want you to understand, and we have to grasp the fact, that as believers, as children of God, we are victorious. Hallelujah. And it's not because, no, we can fight. It's not because. Death and the grave, and he gave us the victory. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, I am victorious. So every battle that we fight, every demon that we face, every demon that tries to, you know, nip at our heels, hallelujah. And looking at our text, you see, as a Christian, you can't be a wimp. You can't be sensitive. Although we should be sensitive. Amen? What is a better? You can't be offended all the time. You can't be, you know, I had somebody come and say to me, Pastor, you might want to loosen your button from your jacket. I was like, get out of my face. How dare you? My wife said I looked good. And I'm so thankful to my wife. She said it looked okay. Hallelujah. So I don't care what you say, mister. No. And then I was like, okay, let me unbutton it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't be offended about everything. You know, a lot of times people get offended and people are trying to help you. They're telling you the truth. They're telling you, no, when you hear, read the word of God, it can be offensive. We don't want to hear that. Oh. What do you mean I got to pray? What do you mean I got to give? What are you talking about, the tithes? The tithes is not for... Shut up. You're stubborn. That's why you have so much difficulties. Well, anyway, looking at the text, Kurt or Laomer with three other kings go on a conquering rampage. And they were conquering everybody around them. They were powerful. And they fought, you know, against five kings and beat them all, but they made a mistake. What was their mistake? They made a mistake of messing with Abram's family. You see, when a devil tries to encroach on your life, you shouldn't be like, oh, the devil, who cares what he's doing? All power and authority has been given unto us through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross and gave us victory, hallelujah. And our job is to stand in that place. And these kings messed with Abram's family. It wasn't even Abraham yet. It was just Abram. And they plundered where he was living, Sodom and Gomorrah. They took Lot, his family, and everybody there to be sold as slaves. And somebody escaped. They went and told Abram, hey, they got your nephew. Man, some of you would be like, thank you, Jesus. About time he got what he deserved. Anybody ever feel that way? Don't raise your hand. As pastor says, it's a rhetorical question. You know, but that's not what Abram did. Hallelujah. But rather, when Lot was taken, God raised up a standard. You see, when the devil tries to come at you, the Lord is for you, and he will raise up a standard against every attack of the enemy in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can I get a better hallelujah? Hallelujah. You know who that standard is? It's you. What? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we see that the standard that got raised against this attack from this king was Abram. He was the key. He was the standard that the God raised up against the enemy. Well, isn't Jesus going to come and knock down every wall, you know, and break everything? And yes, he's already done that. He did that on the cross. Hallelujah. And as believers, as the children of God, and that's why you need a church. Because when you're feeling weak, when you're not, you know, doing your best, you have brothers and sisters that can prop you up. Hallelujah. Because he's called us to be that soldier. He called you to be the one that goes in and destroys and rescue those who are, hallelujah, in bondage
by the enemy. And he says in verse 14 that when Abram heard this, that his nephew Lot had been captured, what did he do? He mobilized. Come on, say it with me. He mobilized. He didn't cry. He didn't throw a fit. Why me, Lord? Why me? Are you feeling like you're the only one? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel like the enemy attacks only you? Well, let me tell you, you're wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that believers all around the world, it says, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Believers everywhere in the world are suffering the very same things that you're suffering. So take heart. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm going to be happy. That's right. And what did he do? When he heard that his nephew was captured, he mobilized 318 trained men. Come on, say with me, trained men. Who had been born in his household. And he pursued the army until he caught up with them at Dan. You see, when the enemy comes, when the battle comes, when there's temptation that comes, you have to mobilize. Hallelujah. You have to mobilize. Because the Lord has given you victory already. When Abram heard, he responded to the need. He could have said, no way, Jose. Lot's been a pain in my neck ever since I brought him along. Finally got rid of that sucker. Let him deal with his own problems. What is that saying that goes? He made that bed, he'll lie in it. Right? We can be selfish sometimes. Anybody else like that? I mean, not me, I'm just saying. Anybody feel like that? Well, that ain't my problem. He doesn't listen. He's a Democrat. I done told him. He's on his own. And I got nothing against Democrats or Republic or independents. Amen? That's not the issue. That was kind of a joke. But anyway, so he didn't just, you know, let it happen, but rather he mobilized with the men that were trained in his house. Instead, he took responsibility. Come on, say with me, take responsibility. To rescue and save his family. You know, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household. Let me ask you this. Are you raising up anyone that can call on, that you can call in time of battle? Who have you raised up that you can call on when the battle comes? We are raising up an army in this church. I love. You know, what is our mission statement? Experience life with people, power, and purpose. We are a personal church. We reach people. We pray for people. Hallelujah. We equip people with power. We get the captives set free. We empower them to fulfill the call of God in their lives. Hallelujah. And then with purpose, that means that we go and do the same thing. We used to say back in the day, be a disciple and make a disciple. You have to train for war. You have to train for a spiritual war. That's why we have early morning prayer. Hallelujah. That's why we meet on the regular. That's why we have powerful services. That's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why we have life groups. Hallelujah. Why is that? We're training for battle. Well, but I'm doing good now. It'll come. And listen, and you'll get to the place where you're good. You don't have any more trouble. But what about your brothers and sisters and your weak nephews? They're going to tag along. They need help. They need to be encouraged. Amen. The Bible says we are to carry one another's burden. And that's what we do through all these, you know, methods that I just named. And Abram made room. He spent finances. He provided for all these men in his home. Let me tell you, training for war, it's going to cost you. Training for battle is going to cost you. Jesus already paid the price to give us the victory. He's already paid the price that gives us the power, that gives us everything we need. Hallelujah. But you got to rise up and take possession of what he has set apart for you. Hallelujah. He made room. He mentored them. He led them. You know, people don't want to follow a fool. Right? Can you imagine if Abram was like, you know, let's say it wasn't Abram. Let's say it was like Richard Simmons. If he showed up, it's like, hey, guys, let's go fight an army. Would anybody follow him? No. I have nothing against him. I'm just saying, I ain't following him to war. Amen? You guys all right? Hallelujah. So there's got to be a strategy. You got to be prepared. Are you preparing yourself? Hallelujah. Are you following after the Lord? He had a specific strategy. Say with me, strategy. I'm going to wing it. Some things you can, other things you can't. You can't just wing this. Hallelujah. You can't, but there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of praying, a lot of planning, a lot of giving, a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, and we all understand, and a lot of, all we all understand as we take it on this journey. Hallelujah. But I'm so thankful for leadership. I'm so thankful for pastors that have answers.
Amen.
Amen. Pastors that are mighty for the Lord, that are mighty in battle, that we can follow. Hallelujah. And you see that he had a strategy. He divided his group into three forces and destroyed them. Listen, you need strategy for what you're doing. If you don't have strategy, you got to get with somebody who can help you. Let me tell you, when Pastor Daniel told us, hey, what do you guys think about Eagle River? It's like, no, thank you. We don't want to go to Eagle River. Why is that? Because we had tried planting a church and failed. Nobody likes to fail. Anybody? But you know what? A lot of times failure, you know, and failure is an event. Failure isn't your identity. Amen? So I'm like, don't want to do that. Plus, look at this place. I mean, even at the other church, it was bumping, especially when we came in. It's like, why would we want to leave this and, like, you know, go somewhere else? It was awesome, you know? And it's like, but then we began to pray, and the Lord says, that's the call I have for you. I'm like, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Pray. Get a word from the Lord. Start a life group. Hey, that's a great idea. And from there, every step of the way, we had people that had led the way. And by the way, you know, don't let people that have never done what you're trying to do tell you to stop. Don't get your counsel from somebody who's never done what you're trying to do. But we have tried and proven. Hallelujah. Leaders and pastors who have done it. So, hey, what do I do? You might want to do this. And the most beautiful thing, I hear so many people saying, oh, Mom, you know, I like my autonomy. I don't want, you know, I do what I think. But you don't understand that submission is where the Lord's called us to be. Everybody needs a pastor. And if you're not submitted to a pastor, you know, you don't understand what, you know, you'll never understand authority if you don't know how to be submitted to somebody. You know, and really in this, I love our church because I'm totally submitted. And there are times I'm like, Pastor, what do you want me to do? Get a word from the Lord. Get away from me. No, he doesn't say that, but it's like, you need a word from the Lord. You might want to think about this and this and this. And we go and the Lord gives us victory. No, I'm tired of people who've made the bad decisions all their lives. You know, trying to launch things and do things. This is what I do. And it's like, listen, you need a captain. Praise the Lord. Well, let's move on. Abram had victory as he followed the strategy. Hallelujah. Because he trained and because the Lord was with him, he had victory and he recovered everything. Come on, say with me, recovered all. I will propose to you that when Abram left with his men, he was ready to die. And that's the only reason he had victory. Hallelujah. If you're going to try to do something, anything in your life, if you're going to try to stay married and you're not willing to die to yourself, you're not willing to, you know, put down, you know, you to make sure, make your family, you know, live, to sacrifice, you're not going to see that come through. If you're going to start a business and you're not willing to sacrifice everything to see that, you know, be successful, don't even start it. If you're going to be a leader in ministry, you're not willing to pay the price. You're not willing to come to prayer. Don't even. Come to prayer first. Get that right first. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is speaking to us in this text that we have to respond to what is happening around us. You can't just ignore what's going on around you. As the world begins to disintegrate, the church must stand strong. And you must stand strong. Now, as we get, you know, the political world, all these things, all these values that are being pushed, that are totally anti-Christ, totally anti-God. The church has to stay strong. And I'm so thankful for pastors, for leaders that do stay strong. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, I'm going to stay strong. You got to be strong in your own home. Hallelujah. You must be strong in your own home. And as that affects your lives, you must stand strong for yourself and your family. The Apostle Paul describes what is happening in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. You know, there's a lot of ideas going on, a lot of things that people are trying to do that are really doctrine of demons or the teachings of demons. What they're teaching in school, don't think it's just, you know, somebody with bad ideas and a mental problem. That's part of it. But there's demons that are driving that agenda, the abortion agenda, the LGBTQ plus agenda that is evil and it's coming from the pit of hell. And we don't hate anybody. We love people. Hallelujah. But the Bible is very clear and God does not change. It's deceptive teachings, even in the scriptures. And we have people coming around, you know, casting demons out of everything. It's like, listen, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, people come to him, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did this in your name. He says, get away from me. I do not know you. Somebody has, you know, a demon casting ministry, but they don't have a leader. They don't have a pastor. They won't submit to anybody. Hey, you know, you try to talk to them. It's like, if the Holy Spirit tells me, it matters that I, you know, obey God and not man. No, you're rebellious, and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Amen? And yeah, the devil is your father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise break. Hallelujah. You be careful. Hallelujah, the battle is over. Which worldview will dominate your life? And you must fight with God's weapon. And 2 Corinthians 10:3 says that we are human, but we don't wage wars as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. There's a lot of teaching that is false arguments. Evolution is a false argument. You actually have to have more faith that, you know, that human beings evolved from the primordial soup, then believe the word of God. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. All these arguments that this and that, well, if God's good, why the bad, like that, those are all false arguments. And the wrong questions. God is good. Hallelujah. I love what Pastor Daniel says. God good? Devil bad. God good, devil bad. Everything that is good comes from the Lord. Everything that is evil, everything that is dark does not come from God. And you get weak believers that don't believe the word of God, that don't pray, that don't seek the face of God. Hallelujah. And then the devil comes and wipes you out because you're not watching, because you're not seeking, because you're not, you know, standing in a place of victory. And they have the gall to blame the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys all right? Well, why did the Lord, it wasn't the Lord. God hasn't moved. And he says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You see, part of winning that war, part of training ourselves is monitoring what you think about. Monitoring the words that are being produced in your head, the things that are coming in your heart. Because if they oppose God, if they are contrary to who God is, you should be taking those things out of your mind, out of your thoughts. Hallelujah. And you must speak the word of God as a weapon. The word of God is creative. The word of God is formative. The word of God gives you strength. The word of God is food. The word of God is power. The word of God is the hammer that breaks the rock. The word of God is the hammer that turns the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Our weapon is truth. If you're thinking wrong, pull those wrong thoughts down. Bring it to Christ and stop doubting God. Well, how do you do that? Let me tell you. You stop thinking wrong, you change your thinking, and you believe what God says. Nobody likes me. No, there are people that like me. I like you. Hank likes you. Pastor Daniel likes you. Minister Rosie likes you. Our staff like the people that you come in, they're greeting you. Hello. You know what that means? That means they like you. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, I'm liked. So next time a thought comes in your head, nobody likes me. No. It could just be that, you know, well, praise the Lord. It just may be you got bad breath. Right? If nobody's talking to you, praise the Lord. So don't get offended. And if anybody ever offers you a mint, I learned this when I was 19, my first real job that I got. Co-worker came to me and said, hey, Gil, you want a mint? It was an Altoid. I'm like, I'm not really into Altoids. No, thank you. Like, no, Gil, you want a mint? Bro, I just told you, I don't want a mint. Thank you. And he says, Gil, you never refuse a mint. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, never refuse a mint. And he explained to me, as an older man that he was, whenever somebody offers you a mint, it's because you have bad breath. Oh. You know, it is possible to live with lies in your head for a lifetime. It's possible for you to live with lies in your head that keeps you bound, that keeps you isolated, that keeps you far from God your entire life. But God did not create us to live like that. He created to walk with Him, to understand Him, to hear His voice, to walk in His power, to experience His presence. Hallelujah. Every single one of us. And if you're living like that, you're being robbed. And it's not a man. It's not a woman. It's the one in the mirror. God gives us His power by His Spirit, and He trains us to be victorious. Hallelujah. Will you allow yourself to be trained? He gives us His arm, as Ephesians 6 talks about it. Part of that arm is to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. He gives us the right strategy. You know when God's trying to give you a strategy in the prayer time that you never have? You know, all the people that won't change their personal prayer time for corporate prayer time, you're wrong. We're coming to the end of time. Hallelujah, where the forces of darkness are rallying to destroy. You can't do it alone. Yes, Jesus said, lock yourself in, pray in your prayer closet. But you see that every major victory the church had was praying in conjunction, praying together. You know, we have people in Molokai, from Molokai, that grew up on Molokai, or were born there, moved to like Alaska, and now they're coming to Eagle River, and they went to the church back in the day, all those years ago. It's prayer, it's the seeds that were planted in that place. Hallelujah. God will strengthen us through testing. He'll give you a strategy, and He'll strengthen you through testing. Come on, say, God is going to test me. You know that a lot of people fail tests because they fail to recognize it. Like Ahaziah, right? God doesn't tempt us, but He will test you. He will prove you. You know, Gehazi crashed and burned. But we're not supposed to do that. God only knows, you know, how he would have been. Imagine, you know, the one from double the miracle, the double portion that Elisha had. And Pastor preached on this a couple weeks ago. I encourage you to watch that message on YouTube if you haven't, or any other way. It's a great message. Hallelujah. Eliminated or elevated. That's a great message. And really the one in the driver's seat to whether you're going to be eliminated or elevated is you. It's not God. God has determined to elevate us. God has determined to bless us. God has determined, hallelujah, to use us in power. But what decision are you making? God tested Abraham with what he himself would go through. That is a powerful thing. Abraham passed the test in Genesis 22:12. The angel says to Abraham as he was about to slay his one and only son, the son of the promise, hallelujah, the type of Christ, Isaac, is about to kill him. And the angel says, Do not kill him. And listen to this. In Genesis 22:12, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. Come on, let's say that together. Now I know that you truly fear God. You mean to say that all that time that Abram had walked with God, that Abram had been faithful to the Lord, he had not yet proved that he truly feared the Lord? Hallelujah. God is going to test you. And as he passed each test, beginning with the leave your comfort zone and follow me. That was the first test that God gave Abram. Leave your family and your land and come and follow me. Does that sound familiar? Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. If you're going to experience the power of God, if you're going to experience the victory that God has for your life, you're going to have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. Hallelujah. God is looking for people to raise up in power and might. Is there anybody here tonight? Hallelujah. Is there anybody here tonight that want to be raised up? Let me tell you, there ain't no choice. You either get raised up, hallelujah, in might and power to fight these battles, or the devil is going to wipe you out. 2 Chronicles 16:9b says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I'll read that again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Hallelujah. You see, God won't tempt you, but he will test you. Are you committed? Are you committed to see that through? Are you committed to live holy, to see victory in your life? Hallelujah. It's not going to come fighting. It's not going to come beating up, you know, your spouse or your children or your whatever. It'll come. You training yourself in the ways of the Lord and devoting yourself to God. Hallelujah. We see in the Bible so many of the heroes of faith, they were tested by the Lord. Esther was tested. You know, she was tested by the Lord. When she was in the palace, you know, and Mordecai said, hey, you know, who only knows? You think you're going to escape this thing? I think she might have. Mordecai didn't, you know, kind of had a history of being semi-manipulative too. And she might have. So she made the choice. If I die, if I perish, I not loved her life unto the death. Hallelujah. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All these men and so many and women who did not love their lives unto the death and followed after to see the victory. And let me tell you, the bigger the call, the more intense the test will be for your life. Boop. This is a test. Do you have a great call for great ministry? You better buck up, girl. You better buck up, sir, because the test is coming. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, God will give you the strength. He will prepare you. He will do everything. He's done it already. And one of the secrets to passing the test is listening to your pastor. You know, one of the things that I love about, you know, Pastor Daniel is, you know, his patience. Specifically with me. You know, there are times where it's just like, I want to be like, ah! And it's like, well, take it easy. Take it easy. And he's like, you know, and it's a blessing. Listen, we all need a pastor. You need a pastor. Amen. Amen. You need a leader. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of homeless Christians. What are those? Are those who say they belong to the body of Christ but have no pastor. It's like that same homelessness that's operating in the world is operating in the, you know, in the lives of people who are like, I don't have a pastor. I belong to the body of Christ. No, you're a Christian homeless. You need to repent. You need to be committed. The eyes of the Lord comb through the earth, seeking to strengthen those who are committed. Hallelujah. Who are committed. You know, some of us are being forged into one of a kind. Some of you, you're like, man, why am I being tested like this? You're being forged into one of a kind. Hallelujah. You know, Dr. Morocco is a great testimony. And he says, you know, talks about when he was born. that he had two Holy Ghost wives or midwives in Calcutta, India, when he was being delivered, praying in the Holy Ghost as he was being born. See, not everyone is the same. He's a unique man, I believe, that the Lord, you know, really raised up for this season. He's a great man of God. He's different. Hallelujah. And I think, you know, and listen, that doesn't mean you're disqualified. That doesn't mean, you know, and all it means is that he's able to do what he's able to do because the Lord has tested him and has molded him and has forged him into who he is. And part of that started when his parents were raising him up. You must understand this, parents. Hallelujah. Speaking of being prepared, of fighting for our families, you got to fight for your family. Not with your family, for your family. You got to fight for your children. You got to raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not by a device. And he was delivered like that. You know, my mom, I was a month early. And she didn't have any, you know, preemies. I was the only one. So, you know, she was kind of like clockwork in her physiology with babies and stuff. And so because I was a month early and she was having contractions, she thought she was having indigestion or something. And she took Buscopan all night, which is, it's a hyoscine butylbromide, which is a cramp medication that you can buy over the counter in Brazil. I was born in Brazil. You know, Dr. Baraka was prayed by two Holy Ghost midwives as he was being born. My mom was like popping, you know, cramp meds. And now, you know, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying it doesn't matter how you were born. If you will submit, you know, and some of us will be, you know, in different stages of our walk, but if you will submit to the Lord and submit to godly leadership, hallelujah, God will use you in a mighty way. You know, Dr. Morocco, at the age of 6, he used to take a train 1,000 miles to go to school one way in India. 6 years old. Like when my kids were 6, it's like, you know, total helicopter parenting. Definitely not taking the train 1,000 miles anywhere. On his own, perhaps with his older brothers. Can you imagine that? Being 6 years old and taking a train 1,000 miles to go to school. At 6, I got separated from my dad at the fruit stand. The watermelon guy, you know, gave me some watermelons. Like, just stand here in case your parents, you know, you might see your parents walking around, you know, and being a fatalist in my, you know, nature. I was like, oh, I'm probably going to become an orphan like Oliver Twist. You know, and I was like, yeah. Doesn't matter where you came out of. If you will find somebody who's doing what God's called them to do, and you will get behind, and you'll follow, and you'll be trained, you can become a great man. You can become a great woman. Hallelujah for the Lord. God will train you. And understand that you're the protagonist of your life. What do you mean the protagonist? You're the one in the driver's seat. Can you come and play, please? Mr. Worship Heavenly Man. God will train you. But you have to make the decision to enlist. You have to be willing to be trained by the Lord. Hallelujah. And a lot of the way that God will train you is in your church, under the leadership of your pastor and the leadership in the church. Our own decisions affect our lives. God will continually push you to harden your resolve on an anvil and soften your heart. Do you know that? That believers, you know, believers that have been serving God and living in victory, you will not live in victory unless you're willing to be hardened by the hammer of the Lord, by passing tests, by staying humble, by staying unoffended, by getting over yourself, by going to Lowe's, getting a ladder, and getting over it. Hallelujah. And thank God Lowe's is like tenth of a mile in that direction. Pastor Kirsten is able to tell you whether it's north, south, east, or west. But God will push you. You see, when you get saved, salvation is free. But for you to live in the power and experience the power of the Holy Ghost, for you to experience the promises of God in your life, you're going to have to fight for it. Because not only are you fighting the flesh and the world, you got an enemy that hates you and wants to destroy you. Because every time he looks at you, he reminds him of God. Every time he looks at you, he sees where you stand in the place where he wanted to stand. And the devil hates us, but he's defeated. But if he can convince you to stay offended, if he can convince you to give up, if he can convince you that you're weak, if he can convince you that the blood of Jesus is not enough, that the word of God is antiquated, if he can convince you that your pastor doesn't love you, that the church is outside the building, all that nonsense, you'll stay defeated. Hallelujah. But God has not called us. We are not of the defeated ones. We are mighty for Christ. Hallelujah. God desires to train you. His eyes are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen you. After the cross, he called us to follow him wholeheartedly. And as you do, he will bless you and increase you. He will increase to a large household. Hallelujah. You see, the plan of God is not that we just be great and by ourselves, but that you take people along with you, that you raise up an army of people who are victorious, who aren't weak. And some people are like babies, you know, all of us are like babies, newborn babies, and we're to train up and walk. But there's got to be a time when we get mature, where you're walking, hallelujah, aided by the Lord, led by the Spirit of God, where you don't need to be babysat anymore. And the Lord can strengthen you and train you for that. Hallelujah. Some of you are stalled. You've caught some snags. You got some false teachings. You got bad attitudes. Hallelujah. Anyone got a bad attitude? Don't raise your hand, please. And listen, don't be like, not me. I got a great attitude. That's great if you do. But if you don't, maybe your spot porch coat is a little too tight and you need to listen to your friend and open it up. But if you automatically, you know, my first reaction is like, bro, get away from me. How can you run if you can't breathe? False teachings, bad attitudes, strongholds in your thinking. Some of you have held on to bad beliefs for a long time. You know, one time I was driving here to prayer. Actually, it was at the barn, which is somewhere over there. And I'm driving here, and I'm thinking like, man, I was thanking Jesus. Hallelujah. Because my theology is good as a tack, sharp as a tack. And literally, I'm thinking this in my brain as I'm driving. It's many years ago. And I'm like, Lord, thank you that my theology is good. I'm just thinking this. Thank you that my ducks are in a row. That I understand certain things. Not everybody does. The publicans and the sinners, you know, they're not like a good Pharisee like me. I wasn't calling myself, I was saying some people don't, but I do. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, you do? So you got all your theology in a row. How many know that when God asks you a rhetorical question, it means you're wrong? And he will ask you rhetorical questions if you ask a lot of rhetorical questions. So you got all your theology in a row. And I was like, I don't. It's like, no, you don't. You have beliefs in you that you've heard from others, even, you know, other teachers that are wrong. Like, don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, you're going to get tribulation. So never pray for patience. You're actually stuck, is what the Lord told me. You're stuck. You can't grow. I can't do anything in your life. Because your belief is screwed up. And Jesus said very clearly, according to your faith. Faith is what you believe. be it done unto you. And I began to repent, and the Lord just, all those things, those strongholds, those false thinking, that those pretentious things began to fall off as I began to reject them. Actually, they didn't fall off. You have to tear them down. Some of you have bad ideas about church, about family, about how you don't need to listen to everything the pastor says because, you know, you're different. Yeah. No, you're not. And I don't know why I keep talking about, you know, stubborn people not listening to the Lord, but that's not in the notes. But those are strongholds that's keeping you from moving forward. Some of you have false teachings that you've adhered to. And says, well, I know this, you know, but I believe. You really need to get a word from the Lord. You need to look in the scriptures. Because when you begin to read the scripture without the lens of false teachings, you'll see what the Lord says for what it is. And the Lord began to work in my heart, and wouldn't you know it? I had pride and all these other things that were keeping me from being healed, keeping me from understanding, keeping me from moving forward in the calling that God had in my life. And once those things were pulled out, once those strongholds were pulled down, I was able to hear and listen. I was like, wow, you know, I'm a jerk. I remember driving, hey, don't amen too loud here, sister. I was driving home from Lucille Street. And I used to live right here on Whispering Woods. Actually, Naomi Drive there. And I was like, Lord, you know, all this calling, all the promises that you've made me, when is it going to happen? You know what the Lord says? Well, why don't you just do like what you're doing right now as if there was nothing else? Just do what you're doing now. Why don't you pastor at work instead of being a jerk to your coworkers because it's, you know, it's not your calling? Why don't you serve with all your heart? With all your being, as if there was nothing else. And I changed my attitude. You know what I had the gall to say to the Lord? Lord, all I am, all I do is pass out envelopes for people. You've made all these calling, and I was an usher. I was part of the head usher team. And all I'm doing is passing out envelopes. No, that's not what ushers do. Actually, it's an extension of pulpit ministry. The maintaining and the keeping and the flow of the service along with the pastor. It's a great honor. And I changed my attitude. And I would see, you know, I would learn, like, okay, what did the pastor need, you know? And I changed my way of acting, my way of, and the Lord began to prepare me. And wouldn't you know it, those things that I thought that were menial that I was doing over and over and over again, the Lord was training my hands for war so that when we arrived in Eagle River and it's like, okay, we got to do a service. Hey, I know this flow. This is what we're going to do. This is what we got to do. This is what we got to do. Some of you are bound and you're stuck because you're thinking, you know, where's the cape? Where's the accolades? And God is saying, you need to learn. So come on, let's all stand tonight. Come on, worship team. I want to encourage you that Jesus has paid the price for you to be victorious. He has made a way for you to be victorious. But after the cross, there's work to do. You got to present yourself as a sacrifice to the Lord. That means God is not going to take you and control your mind and make you come do things. That's what the demon does. But he's defeated. But the Lord will call you, come unto me. Lay down. Lay down your life. Deny yourself and follow me. And as you do, just like Abraham surrendered his son, the promise. Surrendered the one promise that God had made, that he had lived for, that he had fought for, that he believed for. That was a test. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, I'm not going to fail any test tonight. God is going to break you out.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.